Thank you. we get some pastors to come forward, we'll take up our Sunday morning offering. While they're coming, we turn to page six. And there's two offerings today. First will be your tithes and free will offerings. And the gold plate is for the, yeah, the steel plate for the fire plan later. Okay? The second time we'll come around with the youth offering. So keep that in mind. Page six, Brother John Masher, will you ask the blessing on the offering?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just came here today, big things are here, blessed that you're on there. We appreciate your day with the service, and send your prayer. Amen.
All three verses.
Thank you.
Bible, use the Bible 16 through the 19th, and be ready for Brother Curtis Ponder. And on Saturday, we'll have a meal afterwards. That service starts at 10 o'clock.
Yep.
There'll be a meal afterwards. And women's group will meet this Thursday at 6:30. Mm-hmm. It says, please read chapters 5 and 6. Youth choir.
Can the youth choir practice next Sunday evening? I'm looking at my youth.
No.
Everybody hear that? Youth choir practice next Sunday evening?
Well, it's the youth, maybe after church, what's that time? Okay.
Everybody got that? Youth meet with Karen after church today? We can do a discussion time. I guess it's all nice to hear that. Oh, and too soon to start praying for account yet, neither.
Right.
That'll be coming up a couple months, too.
And youth camp in Bible school.
Youth camp Bible school.
There's two, three off, yes.
Yeah. And it's already starting to pray for Paul revival,
right. Amen.
Yeah. Always remember that in practice. Okay. I wonder if we have any special requests for prayer for the Lord sees and knows all about that. Any special spoken requests before we come to pray? Want to make me mention that?
I'll thank God for saving me.
Amen.
I'll thank God he established my path. I know where I'm going.
Yes, sir.
I know I deserve it, but I'm headed for that golden city. I'm headed to that place called heaven, the place where God's throne is. I'm going to be there one day.
Amen.
I'm going to be there with him. And I ain't going to be there with nobody. I'm just talking to the sidelines. He's going to know my name. He's going to talk to me by my name. I'm going to be his own guy. And just like last time, I'll be just like last time for every one of us. Never here. We can all be praying. Same time we can ask everyone in prayer. I believe it's going to be the same way. We're going to have time for every one of us.
Amen.
I thank God for that. I thank God for where he's coming from. I thank God for being good to me. You know, think about what God's done for me. I can face anything down here. This life ain't easy. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's sick. Sometimes you're thick. Sometimes you get into difficulties and trials. I'm going to say I thank God that he saved me. He's not pursuing me. He's with me. I may make mistakes and I might let him down. He ain't never let me down. He's good to me each and every day. And I know that one day I'm going to go where he's at, there I'll be also. I thank the Lord for that this morning.
Far as making new mistakes, I confess I'm guilty of it every day. Every minute, every hour. We all are, and be honest about it. Remember Preacher Billy and Bibby. Lord help them, be welcoming them well. Remember Gary, Charles Gary, all our senior citizens. Anybody else?
Remember a family that we know, they have a baby that's in the hospital. We've been asking for prayer for them for a little while. Doctors pretty much said there's nothing else that they can do for it but make her comfortable. I think they're going to start that process Monday. So just be in prayer for that family.
Yeah.
Be in prayer for Randy, too. He's got an appointment Tuesday to get some stuff cut off of him as well.
Remember this. Anybody else? That's all. Everybody come around and we'll pray. Remember our service today. Remember our pastor. Remember his family. Remember his wife. She's whole conversation in the family way. And pray someone to save today. I was up on visitors again. Brother Charles Cole, if you lead us as we pray.
Good to be in the Lord's house. Appreciate each and every one of you come out to be with us. And, glad that you're here. Before we get started preaching, I want to tell you this. The meeting will be not this week, next week, April 16th through the 19th. Services will be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7 p.m. And then on Saturday at 10 a.m. we'll have service. And afterwards we'll eat and we'll go out. And we'll have youth day. They'll have some things for the young kids to do, some older kids to do, and the rest of us can just sit around and, you know, gossip or whatever Baptists do, you know. Hopefully not, but you know, maybe talk about the Lord, talk about fishing or something. But in any case, we'll have a good time. We always have a good time. We pray for Preacher Curtis Ponder as he's prepared. I know he's ready to come preach to us. We pray more than anything for ourselves. That we will get a blessing out of it, that God speak to our hearts. I'm a candidate for revival. Amen. Amen. Always am. It's always good to get to sit down, hear some preaching, and look forward to the Holy Ghost moving. That's what it takes. That's what we need. I hope that's what you're praying for, that the Holy Ghost of God would move in these services. The end of this month, I will not be here for the foundations study. I'll be here that Sunday morning after service that Sunday. We'll be leaving, me and my wife and the kids will be going out of town for a few days. And it was the end of the month. So I prayed about it, and about a month ago, I know this was going to happen. I'd asked Preacher Clint if he would come and if he would do the foundations question. And he said that he would love to. He was super excited about that. And so I told him to have a question ready. And he told me his question a few days ago. His question is going to be this. And I think it's such a wonderful, I hit him on this. What is the purpose of baptism? What is the purpose of baptism? And I think that is it's such a foundational thing, you know, that it fits right in there with that. So if you want to write that down, I guess that would be April the 27th. But yeah, those are some things to be praying about and continue to be praying about. I wonder if anybody's got a special song they'd like to sing for you to start preaching this morning.
Ladies' meeting is canceled, which is next, this coming Thursday, this is Thursday.
This coming Thursday, okay. I might have to steal 50 away from y'all. I might have plans. I'm sorry. That's my birthday. I might make a good movie to eat or something. Is that okay?
I'm just a Jesus. I rest.
eschatology, and we talked about it. That just simply means the study of end times prophecy. And we are drawing near to the end times. We are in the end times, and we are growing closer to the time of many of these prophecies being fulfilled. We talked about some of that a few weeks ago, the evidence that we are growing closer to the end. Now, in chapter 6, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and it set on him, had a bow, and the crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Father, Lord, we pray, God, that you would add your blessing to the reading of your word. God, that you would give us understanding, Lord, and that you would give us, Lord, skillful wisdom to be able to have your word and hide it in our heart and to uncover it, Lord. I pray that you make known to us the mysteries of your word, God, that you would be glorified in it, and that the name of Jesus would be exalted. And more than anything, here this morning, may his great name, God, be lifted up and magnified in our hearts and minds. Lord, that you might be glorified. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Preface a little bit. If y'all are like me, a few days can pass between these messages. We can easily begin to, forget some things. And so just to give us a little summary to catch us up, we've already talked about the things that will lead up to the rapture of the church. We've talked about the rapture of the church. That is an event where that God will call his children to himself. And then we talked about the things that the tribulation period, the rapture, will happen right before the tribulation period starts. Once the church is removed out of the way, we'll get to this place right here where we're at in Revelation chapter 6. By the way, if I was going to title this this morning, it would be this, the start of the tribulation and the rise of the coming Antichrist. We're going to be in the tribulation for at least a couple, maybe more, services it's going to take to get through this tribulation. I'm suspecting three or maybe more. But in any case, this is just where the Lord wanted us to start at here today with talking about the tribulation period itself. Now, one thing that we was careful to go over in the last couple weeks concerning this tribulation period is this. This is not the devil's tribulation period. This is something that is part of the will of God. Amen? We talked about how in the previous chapters that John, he is called up to heaven and he sees a vision, and the vision is of the throne. It's reminiscent of what we see Isaiah say in Isaiah chapter 6. He saw the throne of God and he said, Woe is me. And he realized that he was so unworthy to be there, to have that vision and to see God in all of his majesty and his authority. And we see that John also sees that. And we see that he sees that there in heaven, at the place where God's throne is, that the streets
that the ground is made of gold where he's walking, that the walls are of jasper and of fine stone, and that everything there is built out of things that we would greatly value. God says that those are just building materials. He's making a statement in what he's allowing John to see in his city, that those things are not of value. But we see that there's something that's in his hand, and it is a book that is sealed with seven seals. Of all the things that the one that sits on the throne, which is God the Father, could have in his possession, it is this book that has sealed with these seven seals. And when we get to the end of chapter 5, we find and we read that there was but one that was found that was worthy to take the book and then to open the book. And that was the Lamb. That was Jesus Christ. And that is the vision that John saw. And so we see here in chapter number 6 and verse number 1, when we first begin reading, this is the start of the tribulation. This is some visions that he's beginning to see. And it says that the Lamb, that is Jesus, opened one of the seals, that is the first seal. And it said that as he opened this first seal, the first thing that he sees, he says, is he sees, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, I will tell you this, this is not the only time in Revelation, this is the first time, but this isn't the only time in Revelation we'll see a rider on a white horse. We know that there's another one that's coming after this, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, some have interpreted this to be Jesus. That is not so. This is that spirit of the Antichrist. This is the beast we're going to read about in just a minute in another chapter. And he is the one who is coming. He's imitating Jesus. That's what he does. He imitates Christ. He professes himself to be Christ. And we'll read some of that. A lot of this, just like it's been these last couple of services, is going to be teaching, and that's okay. It's good for us to learn and grow together, amen? But then we're going to have some preaching in there. Well, there's going to be an application as to how it applies to you and I today, Lord willing. But we see that he comes on this white horse. Now, I'd also read some, and I had talked about in chapter number 12 last week. We had made the point to say, we talked about the authority of the dragon, which is Satan, or rather his lack thereof, and how that this is all part of God's plan, that he's already a defeated foe. Are we on the same page? That this is God's desire. This is God's idea. This is God's treasure to unleash this tribulation period on earth. Those that are in Christ are not here, my friends. Now, there will be Israel there. They'll have their purpose during the tribulation period. And Lord willing, the next service, we'll get into that on Wednesday night. But nevertheless, whenever we're looking at this, we need to come into this with this understanding that as we see what we're about to read, and we read about this Antichrist person, this personification of the devil himself, that has been a man that has been given this power, this authority, that this is not something that is outside of the will of God. This is not something that ever took God by surprise. Matter of fact, he called it a long time ago, and it wasn't just, he said, you know what, I can see into the future. I think this is how the devil's going to get his way. No, he said, I make the future, and this is how I'm going to let the devil think for just a season that he's going to get his way, and then I'm going to squash him. But in any case, we can see these things happen. But as we look at this, I don't want us to go into this with some misconceived notion that the devil has somehow more authority than what he really does. But looking at this in chapter 12, we went through and we talked about from the beginning all the way into the tribulation period. Chapter 12 covers that. If you wasn't here for that last Wednesday, then you can go back and you can read that. But in chapter 13, this is the vision that he sees. He says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and this is Revelation chapter 13, and he says, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon that is the devil, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now this beast has here seven heads. We'll read later on in Revelation chapter 17 how that the Bible talks about here this in Babylon. It says, let's see here. Shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Yes, verse 10, Revelation 17, verse 10 says, number seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now he's talking about the seven heads of the beast. He's talking about the five major world empires. Now understand this, that these were all types of antichrist type spirited governments that were seeking to have a one world order. Starting with Egypt. We see all these in the Bible. The next was Assyria. The next after that was Babylon. The next we see was Persia. All these things also line up with the Word of God. The next one after that was ancient Greece or Grecia. And then he says, when he's, now notice when he's saying this, he's talking about John's time that he's in right now. So he says, five are fallen. Those are the five that are fallen. He says, one is, he's talking about the Roman Empire, and one is to come. Since the fall of the Roman Empire, can anybody tell me of one more government that's existed?
United Nations?
Huh?
United Nations? The United Nations?
The United Nations. They fail to be under one ruler. Now, there could be one that emerges from that, sure. And we'll go into more detail, and we'll see how this Antichrist figure will come from somewhere north of Israel. Because the Bible tells us that a king comes out of the north. Now, we don't know if that necessarily means Europe. It could mean as far as Russia or somewhere of that nation. Some people believe that this king that is to come, is this seventh king, is one that might be a revised Roman Empire. That's why many of them believe that the Antichrist could be Catholic. Some said that he could be Jewish, because we'll read here in just a minute in Daniel how that he makes a covenant with the Jewish people. But nevertheless, I know this much. That he's not yet come, but he will be a ruler likened to those other six, which will be a one world type government. Understand that. And so we see this in chapter 13, and we see that it says that the dragon gave him his power and great authority. And he says, I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Let's notice some things here that it says that they worship the beast. It says they worship the dragon, which gave him his power. And so we need to understand this, that as this beast comes up, that he is going to be one that is worshipped. That means he is going to be an all-out religion. This is not going to be an atheist scientist. This is not going to be someone who is an agnostic. This is going to be one who practices some form of religion. Now, I would say that he's going to claim to be a Christian. I believe that he's also going to claim to be a Jew and a Muslim and anything else of that nature. Well, now, when we're talking about Muslims, let me say this. In Daniel chapter 11, we read how that there is a little bit of resistance to the authority of this Antichrist during the tribulation period. It talks about the king of the south being stirred up against the king of the north during this revelation period. And that very well could be something to do with some Muslim empire. I'm not sure about that. Like I said, this is just interpretations, but I'm just throwing that out there as a thought. But nevertheless, we know this, that he will have religion, okay? And that he will be all about religion. As a matter of fact, it says this, it says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy, verse 6 of chapter 13, against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given over him, over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so it says here that it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I thought you said that there was going to be the church is going to be raptured. That's right. But there is going to be also others that are born again after the rapture when the tribulation period begins to start on earth. And the reason that we know that is because the Bible says that. It says that John also saw a vision of all them that had been saved out of tribulation. And that they were, that he's seen a vision of many of them, and that they were there in heaven. After, because they had been killed for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw some souls in the altar. We're going to get to that in another one of these trumpets that's going to blow. But in any case, going back to Revelation chapter 13, what we was just reading, it says that he came to make war with the saints, and it says that he came to make war and to have power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Now, that just emulates what we just seen there in Revelation chapter 6, doesn't it? Where it says that there's the one that's coming on a white horse. There's one, and what does he come with? It says he comes with a bow. And it says that he came forth conquering and to conquer. So he is going to take control partly by military force. Now we know that he is going to be a deceiver. We know that he is going to be one that is going to sow lies and deception. And he's going to trick, namely Israel, according to what Daniel prophesied about it. Let's just read a couple of things just to solidify what we know about this coming Antichrist. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him," that's talking about the rapture, "that ye be not so shaken in mind, nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Talking about that Antichrist individual. Not necessarily saying that at this time he'll be in full power, that he will have control, but that he will be revealed, that he will be a player in the world stage at that point, at the time of the tribulation. So keep your eyes open. The Bible says this, that he who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Sounds like he wants to be like God. Yeah. So what does he do? He comes right in on a white horse. That's what he does. The same as the Lord Jesus would do. Again, let me read this. Matthew chapter 24. We read this the other week. It says, verse 15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let him which be in Judea flee into the mountains." Now he's talking about the middle part of the tribulation, after the first 3.5 years, in the middle part, whenever this person here, this Antichrist, is going to be standing in the temple. Now, to go to Daniel, I hope I'm not losing y'all. I'm trying, like I said, it's a lot to go over. I'm sorry, but try to stay with me. Now, to go to Daniel, now I said we're talking about the rise of the coming Antichrist. That is pertaining to Daniel's 70th week during the start of that tribulation period. Here is Daniel's 70th week. Y'all heard me say that? Here it is in the Bible. In verse number 20 of Daniel chapter 9, it says this. It says, "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God to the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." That is the time where he would go and he would that's kind of like a sacrifice, but he's not making sacrifices, he's burning incense, and he's giving offerings to God that does not require blood. And he says this, is about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 62 is 2, 7 is 7, that's 69 weeks. He says there is 70, but he just named 69. And he says that from the declaration to rebuild the temple, and we see that over in the book of Nehemiah, we see that how the temple is to be rebuilt, right? From that time, now this hasn't happened yet in Daniel's time, right? Daniel hasn't, he's prophesying about this time. He says, but from that time until the Messiah, meaning that you're going to stay in captivity under one regime after another. See, it started with Assyria. They no more come out of Egypt, right? Not for but for a few hundred years, right? They go into captivity in Assyria, and then to Babylon, and then to Persia, and then under the Grecians, and then under the Roman Empire. But they never come out of that captivity. It's just one world government after another. One world government after another. They're staying in that same pattern. And you know how many years passed between those two? It was 483 years. That's 69 weeks, prophetical weeks, which is weeks of years. Each week representing 7 years. Are you following me? And if you do 69 times 7, that's 483. And so there were 483 years from the time that they allowed and gave the decree, this pagan ruler, for them to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and to rebuild the city. And from that time, going forward to the time that Jesus came and his ministry on earth was 483 years. And so we're still missing a week, okay? And he says this. He says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth, I'm sorry, verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And then now it's talking about this last week that's going to happen, that's not yet come yet. And he says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now that's the last week. And in the midst of the week, the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, we can see here how that in Matthew 24, when Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, he says, take ye flight. Because he wants the Jewish people to understand, because Jesus knows that they'll be deceived, that they'll make a covenant with him, right? That's what the Bible says. It says that to Daniel's people, it says they'll make a covenant with him. And it says, and in the middle of the week, that is the middle of that 7 year period, and we know there is a 7 year period because we read how that the beast is allowed to continue 42 months. 42 months is how long? Is 3.5 years, right? And so we know that that's the middle period of those 7 years. Now, whenever it gets to this point, it calls him, it says that he will cause the sacrifice and the oblations to cease. So he's allowed them to operate in the temple under his authority, this Antichrist has, for 3.5 years. And he's made a covenant with them, and it's lasting peaceably with the Jewish people now for 3.5 years. Now, if you remember last Wednesday, we read about how that the dragon sought to take the woman, which was Israel, and in Revelation chapter 12. And we read how that God had hid her away for 1260 days, again, being 3.5 years. Now, because of what we can read in Daniel chapter 9, and because that we can see how that there is a covenant made between God's people Israel and this Antichrist type figure. And they're even allowed to continue to make sacrifices, at least for the first 3.5 years. And we see that Jesus warns them that whenever that event of the abomination of desolation, he goes into the holy place and he profanes the holy place of God. You know, we talk about the temple, and we talk about the outer court, the holy place, and then we talk about the inner place, the holy of holies. He's going to go in there and he is going to desecrate that place. He's going to perform some kind of ungodly act. Some people say that this has already happened, that a guy named Antiochus done this, and that's not happening. That doesn't line up with Scripture. I believe that the devil might have been trying to make it happen, because he don't know when all these things are going to unfold. He's had an Antichrist waiting in the wings from the time that he first read this in the Bible. Amen. You get what I'm talking about? But in any case, because that we can see that Israel is there, we understand that they'll be hid that second 3.5 years. Whenever it's talking about that God hides them for 1260 days, that is that second 3.5 years that he takes them and he hides them. That's, like I said, that symbology of Noah being carried through the flood, right? And he's not able to find them. And at the end of which, he's able to find them. Now, going back over here to Revelation, we also see how this Antichrist, as he comes into power, he's going to come and he's going to be conquering. Now, like I said, he's going to be very religious. He is going to be one who claims himself to be God, according to what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that he will call himself God. He will sit in the place of God and he'll say that he is God. We see in Revelation chapter 6 that he's riding this white horse, that he's coming forth to conquer. Also in Revelation chapter 6, when the second seal was opened, it says there was another horse that went out. Now understand this, that this first horse and this second horse and this third horse and this fourth horse all represent the Antichrist, okay? These are all representations of different attributes and things that the Antichrist is going to do during his time of reign, okay? This is just visions that John is seeing. These are not four different individuals. This is all correlated with what we were just reading in Revelation chapter 13. Now it says this. It says that when he had opened the second seal, in verse number 3, it says, there come out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him to sit thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, it correlates perfectly with that when we see the white horse, he comes forth conquering and to conquer. And we see that it says there was given unto him mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. It says, and all they that dwell upon the earth worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. And so we see that not only was he coming forth to conquer and to take over and to take over with the sword, but also he's coming forth to set nations against nations, that nobody's getting along with nobody if they're not getting along with this beast, this Antichrist, this one that has come into power. Then, lastly, it says this in Revelation chapter 6. I'm trying to hurry. I promise y'all won't be much longer. Revelation chapter 6, it says this. It says, we'll save that fourth seal for next time. But the third seal, let's look at this. Let's get to that application real quick. It says, when he opened the third seal, I heard a beast say, come and see. Behold, it looked a black horse, and he that had set on him had a pair of balances in his hand. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, that word for penny there, it means not the same thing that you and I get for a penny. This is a denarii. This is a form, and it basically means a tenth of a talent. It basically means in today's dollars, it would be the equivalent of several hundred dollars, okay? So it's not necessarily a penny. And what he's saying there is that, you know, your money ain't going to go far. Your money is not going to go far. So what he's talking about there is he's talking about economical collapse. He's talking about, we already know that there's going to be famines, because we talked about that. Going leading up to this time, there's already famines. Now then, can you imagine what's going to be going on during this tribulation period? Understand this, that the reasons that he's able to have the authority that he does is, one, the church is gone, right? Yeah. Two, it's because that he's going to have answers for all the world's problems. We just got through talking about how that going leading up to this point, leading up to the start of the tribulation, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be famines. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be diseases. There's already a world that is full of problems. And here's a man that has answers. And part of the answers is this. It says that he has a set of balances in his hands. That means that he is going to decide who is just and who is not to be able to receive goods and to barter. We read that again, Revelation chapter 13. I know I'm going back and forth. This is just the way it is. I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 13, he says this, that in verse number 16, he says that he calls them all, both great and rich, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That 666. Now we can talk about, you know, it could be a new barcodes and how that it correlates to the number of, you know, measurement. I don't know. Microchips. I don't know. I ain't going to be here. Okay? All I know is this, is that there will be a mark that is given, and he will have say-so over who is allowed to buy, over who is allowed to sell, and who is allowed to do that. And so, in saying that, can I say this just to get to the application and make a transition right now, so before we go? Can we not already see how that spirit of that Antichrist is in our own government in the most free country in the entire world? I would say that the United States of America is the most free, the most godly nation in the entire world. Would you not agree? I would have to say that. And yet I can see how that, just going back to COVID, they wanted you to have a mask, or they wanted you to have a vaccine to be able to do this, or to be able to do that. And so there's already that mentality that's even in our government. And I can only imagine in other parts of the world. Matter of fact, we can already see, and we've already seen it done, how they would shame you if you didn't have a mask, or if you didn't have a vaccine, or you didn't have this or that or the other. They'd shame you if it's fine to go to Walmart, because that's essential. But church is where you're going to get COVID. That's what they'd tell you. You know, stay away from church and stay away from gatherings like that. They tried to get people to be antisocial and everything else. But in that, I could see the power of the spirit of that Antichrist at work, with even within our own government. We could see that. We could see those things beginning to happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that they was already, and I'm not saying that, don't get me wrong, having a mask or a vaccine is not the mark of the beast. Please don't leave here today and say that the preacher. That's not the case. That's not what I'm saying. If it were, then we would be in the tribulation period. It wouldn't be happening like this. But I'm saying that we can see the evidence that spirit is already at work. Now let me go back and let me read one more thing in Revelation chapter 3. We know that this Antichrist comes on a white horse. We know he comes on a red horse, on a black horse. We know that he comes conquering and to conquer. He comes bearing a sword to set people against one another. He comes to establish his own authority to say what you might be able to do and not do, depending on whether or not that you bear his own mark. But we see also that there is another beast in chapter 13, verse 11. And it says, "I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth, and them which dwell therein, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand for it. So we see that it is this false prophet of the beast, of the Antichrist, which is the one who is ultimately going to cause everyone to receive the mark. And we see here that he says that he makes the image unto the beast. And it says that he's able to give power unto this image, that it's able to monitor you and to find out if you're doing like you're supposed to, and if you have the mark like you're supposed to, and if you're worshiping the beast like you're supposed to. And now that seems very supernatural to you and I. Who knows, maybe it is 100% supernatural. But we live in a time of artificial intelligence, when they literally could equip some form of technology in your home, in your vehicle, everywhere that you go. There's already stuff that's monitoring you. It advertises to you on your phone, everywhere you go. We can see how that these things, I'm not saying that artificial intelligence is the Antichrist. I'm just saying that he might very well use it. You see what I'm saying? He might very well use it. But I'm just saying this, I'm not saying that he certainly will. I'm just saying we can see how that this is a possibility in the day and time in which you and I live. We are growing ever closer to the end. And you say this, you say, well, preacher, I don't understand how that all this is going to happen. The church, we are so weakened in this day and time. We are so backslid in this day and time. We do not pray. We do not read. We do not study. We are so consumed with so many other things in this world that I want to say this, that the church is so weak in this day and time. It's no wonder the Bible says there will be a falling away first. It's no wonder that the Bible tells us and teaches us this Antichrist will be something that can be worshipped. How many people do you think that are out there today that claim to be Christian will support this Antichrist? I want to say that I believe there will be many that will support this one that's going to rise up, that is going to be a very religious individual. And why is that? It's because he will cater to them. He will cater to their appeals of what they want God to be. When I was lost, I had an idea about God, and I thought I could make him into who I wanted him to be, and that he would conform to me. And I had this idea about God, and that you know, if he loves me and he's all good and all this, then he'll just accept me the way that I am. You know what? I'm going to tell you this, Christians. Stand in these last days. And I'm going to tell you why. I was talking about this in the Sunday school room. When I was lost, there was other people that thought like I did. From the time I was a child, I was never one time I said, I don't want nothing to do with God. I always wanted to be on God's side. But I wasn't. I was never on God's side. I had God on my own terms. And the Bible says that I was a servant of the God of this world, of my father, the devil. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 8. And you know what? There were other people around me. And they would reinforce the ideas that I had. But they were my allies. They were on the same team as I was. And that wasn't on God's team. But the ones that got my attention started out as my enemies. You know why? Because they'd bring the sword and they'd cut. Gosh, it'd make me mad. People like my grandpa, people like Carl Bishop, telling me, you ain't saved. If you were saved, you wouldn't be living like you're living, son. You wouldn't be running the roads and doing like you're doing. He said, son, if you were saved, there'd be a transformation. Just give your heart to the Lord. And I'd get so mad at him, I wouldn't talk to him for a week. But sometimes two. Then I'd get to, I'd forget about it, and I'd get to talk to him again. We'd have a good time. We'd go riding horses. We'd go hunting or fishing or something like that. And then he'd get brought up again. He'd make me mad again. And I'd try to get away from that. But you know what? It's the ones that brought that sword in my life. And eventually God used that. He saved me, and it's for them people I'm eternally grateful God put them in my life. So what I'm telling you is this: stand. stand in these last days, stand triumphant, because I want to say this, that that spirit of that coming Antichrist who will rise to power according to the will of God. It is God's will for him to do so. That he will do it through deception. He will do it through means of conquering. And there will be many that will follow him, that will put their trust in him. And they'll do it in the name of religion. They will do it in the name of religion. You and I have a short while. We have but a short while on this earth. He could come back tomorrow. Peradventure, maybe he doesn't come back even in any of our days. But the time we have on this earth is so short, we're not guaranteed not another minute. I hope and I pray that you realize how that this spirit, this power is already out there, and it's gathering strength, and it's preparing for this day. The Bible says it's greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Lord Jesus said this. He said, upon this rock I'll build my kingdom. He said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What is a gate? It is a defensive mechanism. Meaning the gospel is meant to be an offensive force. Take the word of God. Take what you know of God. Read your Bible. Grow. Pray. Ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to give you strength. Ask God to give you courage. Ask God to give you a desire and serve him with what time you have on this earth. He's worthy. Amen. We're going to have our communion.